Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies toward us. Thank you for your blessings in our lives. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your power. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for your name that is producing great victories in our lives. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for solving our problems. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for giving us victories, successes, and prosperity. Thank you for drawing us closer to yourself. Thank you for ensuring that your will prevail in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the doors you have opened unto us. We thank you for your blessings around their ways to reach us. Thank you, Father. We thank you for all that you have taught us through these Bible study classes. Thank you, Father. We are here this evening to learn at your feet. I ask that you teach us by your Holy Spirit. Impart knowledge into our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Impart your revelations into our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for we know you're going to do more than we have thought. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue and this time we are moving to a new topic or a new title. Yeah, it's a topic that is not common. Yeah. It's a topic that is not commonly taught in churches today. So this topic is called persecution. I'm sure you have heard about that before in the Bible. So we are moving to a new topic or theme that says persecution, or title that says persecution. And we're going to be talking extensively on this topic. Yeah, there are several subtopics and points under this topic. Yeah. The first point number one, says, or you can also say subtopic one, it says persecution promised to all followers of Jesus. Persecution promised to all followers of Jesus. That is, all followers of Jesus have been promised persecution. So it is part of what we inherit from Jesus. It is part of our faith. Persecution is part of our faith. It comes along with our faith. It comes along with the benefit of our faith. Benefit that are in Christ Jesus for us. So persecution is part of those benefits, or our inheritance in Christ Jesus. Though the word persecution does not look like a benefit or like a good thing, but it is part of our inheritance in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus himself was persecuted and healed. And the same happened to the early apostles. Yeah, and the same is still happening today. So we should be ready for persecution, because it is part of our faith. Yeah, in fact, somewhere in the Bible says that everyone that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Everyone that will live godly. Let me read that please for you. Everyone that will live godly must suffer persecution, or shall suffer persecution. Now, if you open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. Or I should read from verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12, yea, and all that we live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Praise the Lord. It says, all that we live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So it's something that is normal. Persecution is something that is normal to our Christian faith. And in fact, it's one of the signs that shows that you are living godly. If you are not being persecuted by those who are unbelievers or who are enemies of Christ or enemies of the gospel, then it shows that you have not been living godly. It shows that you have not been living the original Christian life. Yeah, because there's no way you will live godly and not be persecuted. Yeah, so point number one once again says persecution promised to all followers of Jesus. Or you can say all followers of Jesus have been promised persecution. All followers of Jesus have been promised persecution. Now, you might want to know what persecution means. What does it mean to persecute or to be persecuted? Let us look at it in the dictionary. What does persecution mean, or what does it mean to be persecuted? So I'm going to I'm going to read for you from the dictionary what persecute means. Yeah, one of the definitions says to pursue in a manner to hinder, grieve, or afflict. Yeah, to pursue in a manner to hinder, to grieve, or to afflict, or to arouse, especially especially to afflict, arouse, punish, or put to death for adherence to a particular religious creed or mode of worship. That is, to be persecuted is to be pursued with the intention to hinder, to afflict, to grieve, to harass, or to put to death. That is, someone is pursuing after you, or some people are pursuing after you, and their intention is to harass you, to afflict you, to injure you, or to put you to death just because you are committed to a particular religious creed or mode of worship. Yeah, just because you believe in something they consider to be a threat to them, or something they cannot tolerate. Yeah. So, persecution is beyond blackmailing. Yeah, persecution is beyond slander, being slandered or being blackmailed. Yeah, persecution always goes along with physical threat or injury. Praise the Lord. Persecution always has to do with being, you know, certain people pursuing after you to injure you, to hurt you physically, not that they are trying to hurt you emotionally. No, these people, they are trying to hurt you physically because they consider your existence as a threat to them. Yeah, so they are determined to hurt you, to hinder you, to harass you, and even to kill you, because you belong to Jesus, because you are following Jesus, and because you are serving Jesus. Yeah, so that is a definition of persecution. Yeah, and our topic once again says that persecution promised to all followers of Jesus. All followers of Jesus have been promised persecution. Now, let us read some scriptures. Let us read Matthew chapter 10, verse 17. Matthew chapter 10, verse 17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. You can see, this is Jesus talking, or maybe I should read from verse 16, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Verse 18 says, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Yeah. So Jesus was promising the disciples persecution. He was telling them what will happen to them. Yeah, and that they should prepare their minds for that. They should be ready for that. Now, my question to you is that, are you really prepared for persecution? Are you ready for persecution? How do you feel about persecution? Or if you are being persecuted, or when you are being persecuted, how do you react? Yeah, because Jesus was promising us, not just the disciples at that time, even we at this time, Jesus is promising us execution. But I realize that many Christians today don't even know that Jesus has promised them persecution. They don't even know that persecution is part of their Christian faith. Yeah, and I believe that is why the Lord wants us to study on this topic. Yeah, because difficult times are coming upon Christians all over the world. Yeah, and Christians shall be persecuted during those difficult times. So difficult times are coming upon the world, most especially upon Christians. And during that time, many Christians shall be persecuted. But it seems to me that we are not ready for persecution. Yeah, and the dangerous thing is that persecution will not wait for you to be ready. Yeah, persecution will not wait for you to be ready. It will just come all of a sudden. Yeah, and those that are not ready will backslide. They will fall from the faith. Yeah. They will fall from the faith. For instance, during the time of the coronavirus, the COVID-19, we saw how many Christians fell from the faith. Yeah, a lot of things happened at that time. Yeah, because they were not ready for such kind of persecution. Yeah, because though you might think it is not persecution, but it is. Yeah, because the churches were shut down. And not only that, the vaccine was being forced on people. Yeah. And some people died from the vaccine, including Christians. Yeah. They couldn't resist the vaccine. Yeah, because eventually the same people who said, take the vaccine, eventually also start to say, we noticed most people that took the vaccine died from the virus. And the people who didn't take the vaccine seems to be healthy. Now, the same people who said, take the vaccine, is going to help you overcome the virus, were the same people who later came out to say that it seems those who didn't take the vaccine are now the healthy ones. The people who took the vaccines are the ones dying from the virus. Yeah, but as at that time, a few of us who were enlightened and who saw the vaccine as a poison to kill people were being persecuted. Yeah, few of us at that time who were enlightened and saw that this global vaccination is an antichrist strategy to reduce the population of the world. Yeah, few of us who saw that truth or who knew that truth were being persecuted. Yeah, even the pastors were saying, go and take the vaccine. Yeah, in fact, there was a pastor in South Africa, was it not South Africa, that said, if you don't take the vaccine, don't come to the church. Yeah, now you can't enter my church unless you go and take the vaccine. Yeah. So that's a kind of persecution, though maybe not a serious one, but it is a kind of persecution. My point is that that is even a very small one. Something far more terrible and dangerous than COVID-19 is still coming upon the world. And during those times, those perilous times, Christians shall be persecuted. So my question again is, are you ready for persecution? Even when your government is the one persecuting you because of what you stand for, because of what you believe, are you ready to resist the government? Are you ready even to die fighting for what you believe or holding on to what you believe? Yeah. I was telling a brother at that time, I said, the same way people in their thousands and millions easily took the vaccine is the same way they would take the mark of the beast when it comes, without questioning, without resisting. Yeah. So the coronavirus pandemic, is a test to show how people will receive the mark of the beast when it's been introduced. Yeah. So we need to be ready for persecution. You need to be ready for it. Yeah, because it will not wait for you to be ready. It most times it will come suddenly, all of a sudden. It will just come. And then what you'll be hearing is, and you have to follow this rule. If you don't, you'll be jailed. You will be killed. Yeah. So you can just wake up tomorrow morning and then start hearing some news that this is what is going on now. You have to comply. If you don't comply, this is the penalty. Yeah, so persecution does not wait for Christians to be ready. Most times it comes suddenly. It comes all of a sudden. And those who are not ready usually, they usually fall into the hand of the enemy. They usually surrender to the enemy. They usually give up their feet because they are not ready. So have to be ready, because you can't run away from it as a Christian. Sooner or later, the things you stand for will bring persecution to you. The things you stand for. Yeah. The things you stand for will naturally draw persecution to you. I pray that you'll be ready in Jesus' name. Let us continue. We want to also look at another scripture. Matthew 24, verse 9. Matthew 24, verse 9. This is Jesus speaking. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You can see. Verse 10 says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. You see that? Jesus said, they will deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now this is Jesus promising us persecution. Says they will deliver us up to be afflicted. Yeah, there will be betrayer. The people you think they care about you, people you think they love you, people you think are your friends, they will betray you during the time of persecution. In fact, they will point to your enemies where you are living. They will describe your address to your enemies. And they will say, yes, there's a Christian in that place. She used to pray, he used to go to church. Yeah, that particular house. They will even mention the color of your house and say, yes, that place. There's a Christian there, go and deal with him or deal with her. Yeah, so we can't run away from persecution. It is on our feet. Yeah, but we serve a God that knows how to deliver us from our enemies. Yeah, like Apostle Paul said in that 2 Timothy that I read. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Maybe I should read it again. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. So you can see that. God knows how to deliver us from persecutions. But some people will not be delivered from persecutions. Why? Because they were not prepared. They were not prepared for those persecutions. In fact, some people would not be given a choice during the persecution. For instance, There are some places here in Nigeria that Christians are being persecuted or were persecuted. Yeah, and I think Christians are still being persecuted in those places. As I'm talking to you right now. And usually the persecutors, sometimes they can give them a choice and tell them, are you going to renounce your Christian faith? Are you going to deny Jesus and stop following Jesus? And then come and join us. Yeah, and come and join our religion. Now, they would spare the lives of those that renounce their faith and kill the ones that refuse to renounce their faith in Jesus. Now, but there are times that these people would not even give you a choice. Yeah, they would not be telling you, will you renounce Jesus? They would just kill. Yeah, there are cases where they set Christian houses on fire. I mean, while people were sleeping in the midnight, they would surround the buildings. I mean, they would surround the building of the Christian and put fuel on the building and set the building on fire. And while anyone is trying to run out of the fire, they would shoot the person with a gun, or they would slaughter the person with sword. Yeah. So sometimes persecution doesn't come even with a choice. Yeah. It will just come suddenly. Yeah, I know there are some countries now that they seem to be enjoying, because there are some countries today where the Christians there seems to be enjoying, because there's no threat to their lives, no threat to their peace, no threat to their survival. Nobody's looking for them to kill them. Yeah. And if you happen to be in that kind of country, don't be too comfortable and don't be too relaxed, because persecution shall come. Yeah, whether you like it or not, yeah, persecution shall always come. Now, maybe you might be lucky, it might not come in your own lifetime. It might come during the time of your children or grandchildren. Yeah. There might be peace now, but we should not be relaxed. The time of war and persecutions will still come. Yeah. And who knows what the enemy is planning already. Yeah, but I want you to know that God knows how to deliver us from persecutions. Especially when he knows that it is not yet our time to die and leave this world. So God knows how to deliver his people from persecution. But those that are not ready might not be delivered. by God, those that are not prepared for persecution might not be, you know, they might not be delivered by God. Why? Because they would react negatively to the persecution. Yeah, so God does not, how should I say, the way you react to persecution would determine whether God would deliver you from it or not. Some people, because they are not ready for persecution, so when it comes to them suddenly, they start becoming so fearful. And then they start, you know, trying to save themselves, trying to fight back. Yeah, instead of trusting in the Lord to save them, instead of allowing the persecution to lead them into prayers, you know, to draw them closer to God, they responded to the persecution negatively by becoming so fearful, and some even start to fight. They start to take vengeance. Yeah. Instead of calling upon the Lord to deliver them, instead of fighting spiritually, some started to fight physically. Yeah, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You know that as a Christian, we don't fight physically, we fight spiritually. Yeah, because God is our defender. Yeah, we don't fight the enemy physically, we fight spiritually. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Our weapons are not physical weapons. And then the Bible says that we are not fighting flesh and blood. We are not fighting human beings, but we are fighting the forces and powers and princes of darkness that are controlling the world, that are controlling human beings. Those are the ones we are fighting. Not the human beings. And then we don't do this fighting in a physical way. We do it spiritually. Yeah. So some people, because they were not ready for persecution, they responded negatively. Some began to feel offended. And some began to hate the persecutors. Some began to even curse the persecutors. Yeah, and some began to try to fight back physically, and in so doing, they lost their lives because they did not respond the way God wanted them to respond. Yeah, they responded the wrong way. You don't fight. With physical weapons. Yeah. When the apostles were persecuted, they ran to God. They went into prayers. Let me show you that place. Yeah. They didn't sit down crying and start showing fears and start getting depressed. They went into prayers. And God responded. Yeah, God responded. I think he's in of the apostles. Yeah. Just a minute. Okay. Maybe I will. So, we look for it later. I don't want to take our time. Yeah, but in that place, we saw how the believers, the apostles, how they gathered themselves together in the temple and began to pray. They began to tell God to do more miracles through them. Yeah, because they know that the persecution they were facing was to stop them from continuing in preaching the gospel. Yeah, so instead of them giving up on preaching the gospel, they were telling God to strengthen them, to empower them, so that they can continue the work of preaching the gospel. So in fact, they were telling God that God should do more miracles through them. So persecution should lead us into the place of prayer. Not that you should start becoming so fearful, and then you should start becoming so negative minded, and then you start making human beings your enemies. When the Bible says love your enemies, and then you start thinking of retaliating. Yeah, retaliating to the people that are threatening your life. Yeah, so that is not how we should respond to persecutions. Yeah. Is in Acts chapter 4. Let me read from verse 24. Yeah, Acts chapter 4. Acts of the Apostles chapter 4, I read from verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is, all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So now, in this place, they were persecuting the believers. They were persecuting the apostles, and they were telling them to stop preaching. Yeah. They were going to beat them, arrest them, jail them. Yeah, they were humiliating them publicly. But the believers did not start to be fearful, and they were not starting, you know, they were not thinking of running away for their lives. We saw that in this passage, in this Acts chapter 4, you know, from verse 24 to 31, they were praying. They went into prayer, and they were mentioning the names of the enemy to God. They were telling God that, you know, these are the same people that killed your son Jesus. And now they are coming at us again. They are troubling us again. So they were saying, God, they were not even saying, God, you know, they were not saying, God, kill those people. No. What they were saying was, fill us with boldness to be able to continue the work, even in the face of persecution. That was what they were saying. They were saying, God, stretch forth your hand and confirm our message, our preaching with signs and wonders. So they were asking God to fill them with more courage and boldness to continue, that God will do more miracles through them, heal many sick people through them. So they were not discouraged, and they were not afraid. They were willing to die. Yeah, they don't care about their lives. They are not, you know, they were not trying to save their lives, because Jesus already told them that whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for his sake shall find it. So they were not trying to save their lives. They were not trying to run away. They were only praying and saying, God, strengthen us, empower us more, fill us with more boldness, and do more miracles. Yeah, and God encouraged them, and God filled them with more of the Holy Ghost, and God began to do even more miracles through them to confirm their message. Yeah. So they didn't respond negatively. They did not, you know, start to feel offended and start to get angry and bitter at their persecutors. They were not even praying and saying, God, please heal these people. They were not praying those kind of prayers. Yeah, because they know that God wants to save the souls of everyone. So they were not saying, God, kill these people. Yeah, but they were saying, God, back us up with more of your power. Yeah, and we saw that God delivered many of them from their enemies. And many of them survived, even though at the time they had tools. Many of them were scattered. The church in Jerusalem was scattered through persecution. So many of them have to leave Jerusalem and go to other places. But they were not afraid. And they were not trying to save their life. And they were not they were not trying to, you know, fight back. Yeah. So they went into prayer and got more strength to continue to preach the gospel. So that is how God expects us to react during persecutions. Yeah. And when you really react or respond correctly, God is going to rescue you from the hands of your enemies. Sometimes God might tell you to leave the place, like many of the believers left Jerusalem, even though some still stayed there, like Peter and John and some of the elders, they stayed. While some were allowed to leave. Yeah, but they didn't leave because, you know, they were afraid of dying. They left because they have confirmed that it is the will of God to move to another place and spread the gospel in those other places. Now, so my point is that the way you respond during persecution will determine if you will be delivered by God or not. If you respond like the way an unbeliever will respond, let's say for instance, you were preaching the gospel and then all of a sudden somebody came and gave you a slap on your face and said, why are you preaching Jesus here? Don't you see that we don't believe Jesus here? We don't welcome Jesus in this place. And then the person came to you and gave you a slap. How will you react? Will you also raise up your hand and give the person your own slap? How will you react? Yeah. If you react negatively by trying to fight back, they might kill you and God will not deliver you. Yeah. But if you react correctly and, you know, forgive them and even pray for the person that slapped you, yeah, and then just move away, just move on, yeah, because Jesus said if they don't receive you in a place, leave the place, move to another city or another location and continue to preach there. So if you fail to respond correctly in that situation, if anything happened to you, God will not deliver you. Yeah. Because Jesus did not retaliate when they were beating him. He did not revenge. Yeah. So likewise, you should not. Yeah. So the way we undue persecutions will determine if God will deliver us from them or not. I pray that you'll be wise in Jesus' name. Now, let us also open our Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 30. Mark chapter 10, verse 30. But, okay, maybe I should read from verse 29. Mark chapter 10, from verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. So I want you to pay attention to that place that says with persecutions and the word to come, eternal life. So here Peter was telling Jesus that what will become of, you know, of some of us who left everything to follow you. Yeah, we left our spouses, children, we left everything, our properties, our jobs, to follow you and to serve you. And Jesus told them that you will have hundredfold of whatever you leave to follow me. So he told them that they will have hundredfold, but they will also have persecutions with it. So which means God cannot hold a man. If you leave everything to serve him, he will pay you back, even here on earth, and he will also pay you in heaven. Yeah, so there will always be reward for every sacrifice you give to God. Yeah, but Jesus told them that even after you have received all these rewards, don't forget that you will also receive persecutions with it. Yeah, so persecution is not something you can run away from. It is not possible. Let us also look at Luke chapter 21, verse 12. Luke 21, verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. So you can see, persecution is not something we can run away from. Also, let us read John chapter 15, verse 20. John 15, verse 20. Or let me read from verse 19. John chapter 15, verse 19 and 20. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So you can see that. Because they persecuted Jesus, we also shall be persecuted. There is no denying of that. Even right now, we are being persecuted. Do you know that the people who persecuted Jesus were also religious people? So there were people who claimed to be people of God. There were people who claimed to be servants of God. Yeah. It was not even unbelievers that persecuted Jesus. It was people who claimed they are also believers in God. Yeah, so even right now, we are being persecuted by people who also claim to be people of God. Yeah, so don't be surprised that even inside the church, there is persecution going on. Even inside the church. I have heard of someone who was being targeted by church leaders because of what she was preaching, because of what she stood for. A lot of church leaders sent assassins to go and take her life. Yeah, because she was preaching things, she was exposing things that they consider to be a threat to their churches and to their own system of control. You know, these pastors, they have a way of controlling the people who are their church members. So they have this control over thousands that their church members. Yeah. And they use lies and deception to keep those people under their control. They use lies, they use false prophecies, they use deception to keep those people under their control. So anyone that suddenly comes up and begins to expose these pastors and begin to, tell the congregation to run for their lives and leave such churches, so that person becomes a threat to them, or they don't want that person to survive. They don't want such person that is now trying to open the eyes of the people they are deceiving. They don't want such person to survive. So some of those pastors, they are ready to kill Anyone that stands against their system of control, anyone that tries to expose them and expose their wicked works, they will do everything to kill that person. Yeah, they will even attack the person spiritually to kill the person, and even attack the person physically to kill the person. Yeah, so this woman of God was saying several times they sent assassins to come and take her life. Yeah, so don't be surprised that so-called pastors and church leaders ready to persecute any other, or maybe I should say are ready to persecute another pastor that seems to be standing for the truth and that seems to be exposing the wicked things they are doing both secretly and publicly. So don't be surprised that even inside the church, persecution is going on. Yeah. So persecution is normal to our Christian faith. It's a normal thing. And anyone that will really stand for the truth and obey Jesus completely to suffer persecution, whether a small scale persecution or a large scale persecution. Yeah, so be ready for persecution. Let us also read John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16. Verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus said, in me you will have peace, but in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, that is, be happy, because he has overcome the world. So what it means is that even in the midst of your tribulation, Jesus is there to deliver you in his own way. Now, so don't let the tribulation that is in the world, the persecution that is in the world, don't let it affect you negatively. Don't let it discourage you, and don't let it cage you. Yeah, because some years ago, if a woman says she has a calling and she's a preacher, many of the church leaders at that time would say no. The Bible doesn't approve women to preach. Yeah. So some women were silenced at that time. And because of fear, these women, they just shut up their mouth and they did not do the assignment Jesus gave them to do. Yeah, because of the persecution. Yeah, so you should not do that. Don't allow persecution to cage your life. The Bible says, we will rather obey God than men. So don't, because of fear of men, disobey God. So if God has called you and has given you an assignment, go and fulfill the assignment, even in the face of persecution. Even if the whole world is against you fulfilling the assignment, don't look at anybody's face. Continue to do the work God has given to you. And if anyone attacks you, Jesus will fight for you and deliver you from their hands. Yeah, so don't let anyone silence you. Yeah, because they are not the one that have sent you to preach. Yeah, they are not your God. Yeah, so we should not be scared when being persecuted. We should stand our ground and do the work the Lord has given to us to do for Him. I pray that the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. Also, let us look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Philippians 1:29, chapter 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Yeah, do you know that there are Christians, as we speak right now, that are being persecuted even by their own parents, even by their own family members, by their own relatives, because they decided to follow Jesus. Because they chose to obey Jesus and to serve Jesus and to surrender to Jesus. So they have been persecuted. There are some families where the parents will refuse to give their child food to eat because that child converted to a Christian. So they would not even give the child food to eat. So they would say, if you want us to continue to take care of you, you have to renounce your Christian faith. Yeah, if you want us to continue to pay your school fees and to send you to school, you have to renounce your Christian faith. Yeah. So, we must be ready to suffer for Christ's sake. For the sake of Christ. For the sake of our faith in Christ. We must be ready to suffer for that. Yeah. And then if God sees our heart, He knows how to help us, how to deliver us in the time of persecution and tribulation. He knows how to deliver us. I'm going to round off with this. Now, I also realize that majority of the Christians that are saying that rapture must happen first before tribulation. Yeah, I discovered that majority of those Christians are scared of persecution. Yeah, because some people, they are of the belief that that the Antichrist is not going to show himself until after the rapture has taken place. And when some other people have the belief that the Antichrist would show himself even before rapture takes place. Now, when I looked at those people who are expecting the rapture to take place, I mean, when I studied the mindset of those people, yeah, I took time to study their mindset. The people that were expecting rapture to happen before the Antichrist would show himself and you know, start fighting Christians. I realized that these are people who are so fearful. Yeah, these are people that even when they are being heavily and seriously persecuted, would deny Jesus. Yeah, so I now conclude that it's not really about whether rapture happened before Antichrist showed himself, or the Antichrist show himself first before rapture. So I think the problem is with our mindset and the fact that we are not willing to suffer for Christ's sake. So I don't know, you know, I don't know where we got that doctrine from, because many churches today, what they are saying is, we are not going to be persecuted by the Antichrist. We are not going to suffer because Jesus has to come first. Rapture has to happen first. And those that are left behind, they are the ones that will suffer. Suffer, you know, the tribulation from the Antichrist. Yeah. But I don't know if those people have studied their Bibles very well. Yeah, because right from the Bible days, we have read that persecution is a normal thing, that tribulation is a normal thing for the Christian faith. Yeah. I don't know if you're getting my point. We have seen it from the Bible times that Christians are always being persecuted, tortured, tormented, afflicted, imprisoned, killed. Yeah. We have seen it from the Bible that these things are common to the Christian faith. So then why do you think Jesus will come? Because he doesn't want us to suffer for his name's sake. Is that not a false teaching? Or why are we expecting Jesus to come because we should not suffer for him? We should not suffer for our faith in him. Yeah, why are we expecting Jesus to come and, you know, take us away? Are we expecting a rapture because we don't want to suffer persecution and tribulation that is normal for our Christian faith? So is that not a false teaching? It is. Yeah, because to me, it seems they don't even know what it means to be a Christian. Yeah, that is what it looks like to me. So, so it is not about when the rapture will happen. It's about that something is wrong with our mindset, and we are not ready for persecution. We are afraid of persecution and tribulations. Yeah. So it's not really about when rapture should happen and when rapture should not happen. It's about the fact that We don't even know what it means to follow Jesus. Yeah, that is what it is about. If you study church history, you will see terrible things that were done to Christians. I mean terrible things that were done to Christians. Yeah. Terrible things. Some were given to animals, to wild animals, for wild animals to kill them. Yeah, they were devoured by wild animals, you know, alive. They were thrown to lions, alive, and lions teared them into pieces. Terrible things happened to Christians. Some were burnt alive. They were burnt. Yeah. Some were starved to death. They were starved to death. So there is no terrible thing you can mention that has not happened to Christians. There is no terrible thing you can mention. Yeah, some were raped. They were slaughtered like animals. So there's no terrible thing you can mention that has not happened to Christians. Yeah, if you study the history of Christianity, you will know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So then why do we think that, I don't know if I get my point. Why do we think if rapture did not happen at that time to rescue those Christians from going through those terrible things, then why are we expecting rapture to happen now? Because we don't want to go through some terrible things. Yeah. So, you need to correct. Maybe you have also been affected by that mindset. You need to correct that mindset. Yeah. And stop, praying for rapture to come and deliver you from persecution and tribulation that is normal to your feet. Yeah, of course, there is a persecution that comes from the Antichrist. And to me, that is not new. It's normal. Okay, the Antichrist will say, if you don't take the mark, you won't be able to buy or sell. You have to take the mark. Has that not happened before? Have Christians not been starved to death before, because they could not renounce their faith? Have that not happened before? You know, Christians would be kept in a place and they would not give them food. Yeah, and they would say, if you want food, renounce your faith. Yeah, so have that not happened before? So what is that terrible thing that Antichrist wants to do to Christians that have not happened before? There is no terrible thing that the Antichrist wants. Let's say the Antichrist wake up tomorrow morning and wants to do a terrible thing to Christians. There's nothing he would want to do that has not happened to Christians before. Yeah, and Christians were ready to go through those things for their faith. So don't let anyone deceive you. So I don't care when the Antichrist wants to show up. Yeah, I don't care. But what I'm saying is that stop following that mindset that don't want to suffer for the sake of Christ. Stop following that mindset. Yeah. But one thing that I know is that before the rapture, terrible things will happen to Christians. I'm so sure of that. And what I know is that Jesus would deliver Christians even from those terrible things. Though some will have to die, but some will be delivered from those terrible things. Yeah. And what I know also is that after the rapture, terrible things will also happen. But the difference is that Jesus will not deliver the people in those days from those terrible things. Yeah, there will not be deliverance for them. There will not be help for them. Why? Because whoever is going to be left behind after rapture really do not belong to God. Yeah, they do not belong to God. So I don't believe there is going to be a salvation even after rapture. Yeah, maybe that will be another teaching. Yeah, because after rapture, it's not only the Antichrist that is going to be doing terrible things. Even God is going to do terrible things. You can go and study the book of Revelation very well. There's going to be judgment of God upon this world, even after rapture. In fact, the judgment of God that will happen after rapture is going to be more severe than the one that will happen before rapture. Yeah, so it's not only the Antichrist that will do terrible things. Even God is going to be doing terrible things upon human beings. Yeah, so that is why I don't think anyone will be able to survive those, you know, wrath of God that's going to happen after rapture. Yeah, but like I said, that teaching is for another time. Yeah, but I just want to correct that mentality. Yeah, that mindset of praying for rapture because you don't want to suffer. I pray that the Lord will give you wisdom and understanding. We're going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on the group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this power to learn your word, to learn from your word, to learn your truths. Thank you for all that you have taught us tonight. Thank you for showing us how persecution is natural and normal to our Christian faith. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone that have had this teaching to prepare themselves for persecutions in Jesus' name. I pray, O Lord, that you help everyone here to not allow persecutions stop them from continuing to fulfill the assignments you have given to them to fulfill here on earth in Jesus' name. I pray, O Lord, that even while we are facing persecutions and tribulations from people, O Lord, empower us to not sin during those situations in Jesus' name. And even as you delivered the apostles of old from the hands of wicked people and evil men, O Lord, I pray that whenever we are being persecuted, deliver us from the hands of evil men that are persecuting us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know that you have answered. Thank you, faithful Lord. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen.